Married at First Sight. Chapter 3061. Trenton knew that the two sisters were at odds, but he still called Cameron. When Cameron received his call, she was walking down the mountain with the old lady and others, admiring the redbud flowers planted on both sides of the road. She stopped under a redbud tree and answered Trenton's call. The flowers on the low branches were blooming right before her eyes, and she could touch them just by raising her hand. After living in the darkness for 10 years, she had long forgotten the color of flowers. When she saw the light again, she felt particularly beautiful when she saw the flowers in her flower shop. Looking at the red buds at the moment, she also felt very beautiful. The blooming time of red bud can be from November to April of the following year. Trenton, what's wrong? Cameron reached out and touched the flowers and asked Trenton warmly. Don't you have any classes now? Trenton said, Sister, it's the weekend. Cameron smiled. Yes, I forgot. I didn't even go to work today, and I asked you if you would go to class. You didn't go out? You have the weekend off, so you can go out with your classmates. Trenton said, I usually tutor primary school students on weekends to earn some pocket money. Today, the student I tutored had a fever, and his parents called me to ask for leave and asked me not to go there today, so I went to the library. My second sister sent me a message saying that she was not feeling well. When I called her, she cried. Cameron stopped talking and listened quietly to Trenton talking about Carrie's situation. Trenton said, I asked my second sister what was wrong. She said she had a small polyp and needed a gynecological appointment for a minor surgery. I wanted to take leave and go back to accompany her for the surgery, but she wouldn't let me go back. Cameron said calmly, small polyp? Is it a uterine polyp or a cervical polyp? Trenton, sister, I didn't ask. He, an 18-year-old boy, didn't understand that either. He was too embarrassed to ask, even if it was his own sister. You want me to take care of her? She hates me so much. She doesn't need me to take care of her. And I don't want to take care of her. She hates me, and I don't like her either. Cameron guessed the meaning of Trenton's call and expressed his attitude directly. Trenton guessed this result, and he said, Eldest sister, I will not let you take care of the second sister. I am a little worried about her and want the eldest sister to find out whether she is really sick or whether she is pretending to be sick and asking for money. Cameron asked, Did you give her money? Trenton said, She asked me to transfer some money to her, as much as I had, so I transferred $5,000 to her. I didn't dare to give more, for fear that she would lie to me. Cameron said, It's true that she may have a small problem, and it's true that she's asking you for money. If you are worried, I will ask someone to find out more about it. I will not show up, so as not to put you in a dilemma. Trenton quickly thanked Cameron, Sister, thank you. Yes, his parents asked him to take care of Carrie. He was obviously the younger brother. Sister, how are you lately? Trenton felt sorry for asking Cameron to do something she didn't like to do, so he asked about her current situation. Cameron smiled and said, I'm very good. You don't have to worry about it, sis. As long as you take care of yourself and study hard. She did not advise Trenton not to become a tutor. Chapter 3062. It was also a good thing for Trenton to learn to make money and accumulate some social experience. The property that Trenton inherited from his parents was handed over to Cameron to take care of, except for business matters, and he kept all the deposits himself. He was not short of money. But he still went to make money. He didn't have a lot of money in his hands like others and just spent the day and night, which was good. Trenton, sister, I understand. Cameron, okay, you read a book. I have returned to Wildridge Manor and am walking with Grandma and enjoying the flowers. Trenton hummed, and he quickly hung up the phone. After ending the call, Cameron caught up with everyone. Serenity asked her, "Who called you and chatted for so long?" "Cameron, my brother." "Serenity, Trenton didn't go to class." Cameron smiled and said, "You asked the same question as me. It's Saturday today, we don't go to work, and he doesn't go to class. He usually works as a tutor on weekends, but today his student is sick, so he doesn't have to go there." Serenity also smiled and said, "I forgot." The two looked at each other and smiled again. Cameron also called someone to inquire about Carrie's condition and whether she was really sick. Soon after, she received a reply and found no information about Carrie's treatment in the hospital. Cameron guessed that Carrie was deceiving Trenton for money. In her opinion, Carrie was in very good health. When she scolded her, she was full of energy, like a loudspeaker. How could she look like a sick person? Well, she really had polyps, which couldn't be seen from the outside. But she asked someone to inquire, but there was no information about Carrie's medical treatment. Unless Carrie goes to a small clinic or switches to a private hospital for an examination. In the past, Carrie went to Wiltspoon People's Hospital when she felt a little uncomfortable. After Cameron told Trenton the result of the inquiry in the form of information, he didn't take it to heart. She didn't want a half-sister who hated her to interrupt her happy weekend. After Cameron asked someone to inquire about Carrie's medical treatment, Mr. Lab received the news. With the medication the doctor had prescribed for Carrie, he went upstairs. Carrie was lying on the bed, playing with her mobile phone. When she heard the door open, she immediately put her phone on the bedside table and lay down, pretending to be resting. She was ready for a medical abortion, but she subconsciously wanted to delay it. After returning from the hospital, she went upstairs and went back to her room to rest. He came back within 2 minutes and entered the bedroom. Carrie turned around, then sat up, looked at Mr. Lab, and said, "Mr. Lab, I'm a little scared." Mr. Lab spoke so bluntly that Carrie was speechless. Yes, she was his pawn. How could he let her die when the chess piece was still useful? Chapter 3063. "Mr. Lab, how about we keep this child? I'm still scared. I just checked online and found that some people experience severe bleeding and even death after miscarriage. I'm still young, I don't want to die, and I'm also very afraid of death," Carrie said. Her face turned pale. Mr. Lab flicked her forehead and said with a smile, "Silly girl, I told you that the doctor is still downstairs. She has very good medical skills. She has rescued women who had amniotic fluid embolism during childbirth. With her here, nothing will happen to you. Many things are a bit dangerous, but the chance of them happening is very small. Don't be afraid. I told you that you are still useful to me, and I won't let you die. You are so young and beautiful, I can't bear to let you die. Mr. Lab also pinched her face and said, "You have taken birth control pills, which have serious side effects and have an impact on the child. This child cannot be kept. What if he is born with a deformity or a child with cerebral palsy? You are harming him for the rest of his life. If there is a problem after birth, if you abandon the child, it is a crime of abandonment. Nowadays, surveillance is everywhere. If you throw the child away, others will be able to find out who threw the child away. Miscarriage is a bit painful, just bear with it, and it will pass. Otherwise, after you recover, you'd better go for ligation surgery, or you can get a ring." Carrie wanted to say that it was you, an old man, who should perform the sterilization surgery, but she didn't dare to say it. Afraid of being strangled to death by Mr. Lab. "Get up and take the medicine. It won't take long before you can get out of bed tomorrow. Oh, by the way, let me tell you something. Your blind sister asked someone to go to the hospital to inquire about your medical treatment. Fortunately, you did not use your identity as Miss Newman to seek medical treatment, so she did not inquire." Carrie said calmly, "I guess it was my brother who begged her to go to her. I was in the hospital and called my brother to tell him that I was not feeling well and needed a minor operation, and asked him to transfer money to me. That stingy guy only transferred $5,000 to me." Mr. Lab smiled and said, "You are not short of money now. However, occasionally asking for money from your brother and making trouble with your blind sister can dispel her suspicion of Mrs. Lab. Get up and take your medicine." Carrie knew she couldn't escape this outcome, so she had to sit up, take the cup of warm water from Mr. Lab's hand and the medicine the doctor prescribed for her, and take the medicine under Mr. Lab's watchful eyes. After Mr. Lab made sure that she had taken the medicine, he comforted her with a few more words and transferred a sum of money to her, saying it was for her nutritional expenses, allowing her to rest at home for a week after the miscarriage. This week would be like confinement. If you are like that, try not to go out and avoid being exposed to the cold wind. After that, Mr. Lab left and asked the doctor he invited to help him look after Carrie. After confirming that Carrie was aborted, just give her a call to reply. Mr. Lab left Wiltspoon that day. He didn't care at all about the situation of Carrie's miscarriage. In his eyes, Carrie was just a chess piece for him. Jensberg. As night fell, time passed quickly, and it was late at night in a blink of an eye. Catherine had just finished socializing and came out of the hotel. After seeing Mr. Fraser, Catherine's secretary nodded to Mr. Fraser and said hello. Mr. Fraser also nodded. "You go back and rest." Catherine turned to her secretary and said. Chapter 3064. The secretary didn't say much and quickly got in the car and left. Mr. Fraser took off his coat and was about to put it on Catherine. Catherine stopped him and said, "I'm not cold. Hurry up and put on your coat. It's very cold at this point. I'm not a 3-year-old child, so I know I need to dress when it's cold. It's not cold inside, but it's very cold outside. I see you don't wear much. Mr. Fraser wanted to put his coat on her, but she stopped him again. Mr. Fraser, I really don't need it. Put it on quickly so you don't catch a cold. Seeing that she refused to put on his coat, Mr. Fraser had no choice but to put on his coat. Then he walked toward her car. Catherine suddenly said, Mr. Fraser, can you walk with me for a while? My head feels a little muddy. I want to take a short walk and blow in the cold wind to sober myself up. Mr. Fraser stopped, looked at her, and said, You are too tired. You have been working from morning until late at night without much rest in the middle. This happens every day. Even a strong person cannot stop you. You can't take a break, even if it's a big weekend. Mr. Fraser's words were filled with distress. While others were resting on weekends, she, the young master of the Farrell family, was still busy on weekends. Being a successor was not easy. Especially for someone like her who didn't grow up beside her parents and didn't receive successor education from an early age, this road was more difficult than others. There were many people who were eyeing her position. Liberty, who came from Wiltspoon, was neither a friend nor an enemy, so she should not be looked down upon. Strictly speaking, they were neither friends nor enemies. Catherine was neither a friend nor an enemy to Liberty. Mr. Fraser actually didn't want to see Liberty return to the Farrell family and take charge of the Farrell family. In that case, where should his eldest daughter go? And he was the person who specialized in tutoring the family head. If Catherine couldn't take over the Farrell family normally, he, as an assistant minister, would have to do this for the rest of his life. Because he couldn't change owners, and he didn't want to change owners. To him, Catherine was not only his lord but also the person who was close to his heart. You can take a day off tomorrow, stay up late tonight, and then I'll sleep until noon tomorrow and then get up to eat, and then go shopping in the afternoon. I haven't gone shopping in a long time. Catherine misses the old days. Do business outside, make money, and live a fulfilling and happy life. In her free time, she met up with three or five close friends to go shopping, drink coffee, or go on a trip as long as she wanted. She was afraid that if she didn't do well in the future, she'd hurt them. It was better to tell them clearly and cut off all contact. If they didn't understand her and blamed her for being unreasonable, they just blamed her, she was doing it for their own good. Therefore, she was glad that she had severed ties with her past confidant. The enemy couldn't use her friend to threaten her or manipulate her. Chapter 3065. Mr. Fraser said warmly, I will go shopping with you tomorrow afternoon. Catherine looked at him and smiled. You are so busy every day that you have more things to do than me. It's rare for me to take a day off, so you should take a rest too. In your words, being so busy every day and enduring like this is something even a strong person can't handle. Mr. Fraser was busier than her, and he needed to know many things. When she asked him a question, he would give her the answer and help her. He knew some small things, so he didn't need to ask her for instructions, he would solve them himself. Therefore, Mr. Fraser was much busier than her. Mr. Fraser said, I'm fine. I'm used to it. During training, it was even more difficult than it is now, but I got through it. Catherine wanted to take a walk, so Mr. Fraser accompanied her and walked slowly along the street in front of the hotel. He always paid attention to her reaction. If Catherine shrank and felt cold, he would immediately take off his coat and put it on her. Catherine was not cold. When she worked, she stayed indoors with heating. When she went out, she got in her car. When she got home, she went directly into her house, all in a warm indoor environment. If she was walking around outside, her current clothes were of high quality, very warm, and not cold. Besides, she didn't spend much time walking around outside. A little cold was nothing. As a child, she was afraid of winter. In the winter, her adoptive parents would prepare warm winter clothes for her brothers. She always wore his old clothes. Her brothers were not good to her. They often took away the old clothes and threw them away without giving them to her to wear. Her lips often turned purple from the cold and kept shaking. Or maybe the neighbors told her about her adoptive parents, saying that they only had a daughter, and they treated her so poorly. Did they want to freeze her to death? After being talked about a lot, her adoptive mother would dig out a few more of her brother's old clothes for her to wear. She wanted to have new clothes to wear, it was just a dream. Therefore, her adoptive parents raised her. Knowing that she was originally the daughter of the Farrell family, she could never be grateful to her adoptive parents. If her adoptive father hadn't been crooked and evil, she wouldn't have been transferred. She stayed and grew up with her biological parents. Even if she were not successful, she would not be hungry, cold, or bullied. Her adoptive father replaced her and treated her badly. The separation of her flesh and blood from her biological parents was all caused by her adoptive parents. Of course, after the money was given to her adoptive mother, her biological mother turned around and asked for it back. She didn't care. She gave her adoptive mother a sum of money and paid back the cost of raising her. As for the adoptive mother's failure to keep the money, that is the adoptive mother's business. Miss, you also need to make some close friends, Mr. Fraser said. On weekends, you can meet up with close friends. The emphasis was on quick resolution. She couldn't compare with those wealthy ladies, and they didn't like her quick fix way of shopping.